Good evening. Name is Jim McClain. They have special guests, but nothing special about me. I love Jesus. I'm here to serve you all. It's a blessing to be here. I think if we have another gift card, you might need to give it to Gary because I got a feeling he's going to be in a little trouble this evening because it's only been 9 years. Remember that. 9 years.
I'm in trouble.
He's in trouble. Let him off the hook, please. I'm thankful for Gary Conner allowing me to be here with the Plata Baptist Church family for this opportunity to share this evening. It's a privilege to be amongst such wonderful people and to be amongst such public servants like you all, from teachers to the police department, NAACP, the mayor's office. It's an honor to be here amongst you all. To pray with you all and where we all could just focus our minds and hearts on hope. Scientists, researchers, sociologists, psychologists virtually all agree that hope is a positive, that it positively impacts life. In the 1950s, there was this experiment. It was conducted with wild rats, and they were placed in a pool to tread water. They lasted for only a few minutes. Then they drowned. Then they took another group of wild rats and they set them same task to tread water. And when they were about to drown, one of the attendants picked them up, dried them off, and then put them back in the water. Now you would think they would only last for another maybe 15 or 10 minutes, but they lasted for at least 60 more hours. And the conclusion in that study, in many cases, is that what's even more important than ability and what's more important than skill can be hope. It was the rat's expectation that someone was going to come and lift them out of the water that strengthened them to swim a lot longer than what they did before. And similarly for human beings, right? It's that confident expectation that the future is going to be brighter than what it currently is that can keep us going. Just one more day or one more hour. And that confident expectation about a better future is hope. We all need it. Hope is critical for sustaining and creating peace. Hope is vital for endurance. Dare I say, hope is essential for survival and for living. Which again is one of the reasons why I'm so grateful to be here this evening amongst so many special public servants who are hope nurturers and hope builders. By the sheer nature of your work as teachers and police officers, you all are vehicles of hope. Knowing that the police and the firefighters are on their way gives people hope. Knowing that organizations are working for the improvement for under-resourced and disadvantaged populations gives those populations hope. Knowing that a church is in the community, reaching out to their neighbors, serving, loving, praying, telling the truth, is a beacon of hope for the community. You all, by nature of your positions, as teachers, as parents, law enforcement, mayors, are hope nurturers. You're hope givers. And so it's an honor to be in the presence of people who give so much hope. And we're going to continue to pray with you all and serve and together so that we all can give hope to our community. And as you nurture hope for others, by God's grace, my goal is to just be a way to possibly nurture a little bit of hope for you tonight by pointing you to the God of hope. This evening, I want to give you two reasons why you should put your hope and keep your hope in God. Two reasons why you should put your hope and keep your hope in God. Reason number one is because God can do the impossible through you. Reason number two, God has done the impossible for you. Inside your program, there's a sheet that has some verses on it. The verses are Romans chapter 4, verses 18 and 25. In this section of Romans chapter 4, the author is presenting Abraham as a role model for faith and for hope. I just want to use this portion of his story that we'll see in chapter 4, verses 18 and 25 to show why we should keep our hope in God and why hope in God is the greatest thing you could do. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 and 25, follow along as I read. He believed, this is speaking about Abraham, he believed, hoping against hope, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what had been spoken. So will your descendants be. Verse 19, speaking of Abraham, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body to be already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and also the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, because he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to do. Verse 22, therefore it was credited to him for righteousness. Now it was credited to him, was not written for Abraham alone. Verse 24, but also for us. It will be credited to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Abraham was a historical and biblical figure, and you can read about his life in the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 12, we read that the Lord spoke to Abraham when Abraham was 75 years old. And he promised Abraham that Abraham would be the father of a great nation, and that he and his wife, who was 65 years old at the time, would have children. And those children would have children. And eventually their family line would be great, they would be prosperous, and they would be a blessing to the world. And in Genesis chapter 15, we're told that the Lord reminded Abraham of this great promise. And he told Abraham, just as numerous as the stars are in heaven, so will your descendants be. As numerous as the stars in heaven, so will his descendants be. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. For me, that sounds like a lot of eggs and a lot of milk. But this is not about my budget. But for them to have a large number of children was just showed a blessing, how God was blessing and favoring you. And then to give them a land that they would live in was also to show God's favor and blessing upon you. And then for them to be a mighty nation that would be a blessing to other nations, and by which the world would be blessed by. It's a wonderful promise. At 75, they heard the promise. Abraham received the promise. But the problem is that they hadn't had children yet. At 75 years old and at 65 years old, they hadn't had a baby yet. And then 10 years later, they still hadn't had a baby. And then 10 years after that, they still hadn't had a baby. And in Genesis chapter 17, we're told that 24 years after hearing the promise, and presumably of baby planning, 24 years of baby dreaming, 24 years of trying to make babies, the baby still hadn't come. I love the Bible, and because how real it is. And through the Bible, we see that God knows and he understands us. And in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, it says, a hope deferred makes the heart sick. We like when loans are deferred. But when hope is deferred, when something that we really want and that we really desire is delayed, it has a tendency to make our hearts ache. The Bible says that in Proverbs. Hope can turn to frustration. Frustration can turn to anger. Anger turns to despair. And despair can turn to apathy. And that's hopelessness. And sometimes when you truly believe that your life will be brighter and better if you get this thing, if you can grab hold of it, and then when you try to grab hold of it and it just keeps moving further and further away while you're trying to grab hold of it, it could just be cause despair. The Bible recognizes that. And maybe you could be in a situation right now where you're feeling hopeless. A marriage crumbling. A child still straying. A neighborhood stuck in a cycle of poverty. A bill that continuously is not passing. Legislation at it. A sickness not improving. You all know how repeated failures and frequent letdowns has a way of eroding hope and chipping away at hope. Which is why Abraham is presented as a role model for hope and belief, because our text says that he hoped against hope. They hadn't had a baby. In Genesis chapter 17, he's 99 years old. His wife is Sarah is 89 years old. And it's laughable to think that they would have children. Abraham and Sarah's situation was as good as dead. Their clocks were beyond ticking. The time was up, according to science, according to reason, according to physical anatomy, according to the odds, according to their biological clock. The time was up. All the earthly pathways that would have led to hope were shut. In a human sense, hope had come to an end. And yet the text says that Abraham hoped against hope. Why? Because his hope was in God. Abraham looked at his body, said, I ain't got it. Looked at Sarah's body. Sarah's like, I ain't got it. But what they did have was a promise. And they had a God who was able to come through on his promises. And they had a God who was for them. The situation was hopeless, dead, and yet because Abraham had hope in God and believed in God's word, he kept believing. The statistics didn't make him waver. The odds didn't make him crumble. The probability didn't make him give up. Why? Because he learned that he was not to put his hope in statistics or his hope in odds or his hope in the probability, but he was to put his hope in God. And with his hope in God, his faith was strengthened, and that glorified God. Look at verse 22, it said, verse 21, because he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to do. Able to do what? Give them a baby at 190 years old. 100 years old for Abraham and 90 years old for Sarah. He was convinced that could happen. And why should you put your faith and hope in God? Because he is able to do. To do what? Fill in the blank. There is nothing that is impossible for God. Absolutely, positively, nothing. The God that we're talking about is the one who created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Which means there is not a situation in your life that he cannot revive or make better. God is a God of hope. And with God, all things are possible. It's one reason why I have a hope in God, because in God, all things are possible. Another reason you have hope is because God has done the impossible for you. There's a bigger picture here that the Lord wants us all to see. If you read the rest of Abraham's story in Genesis chapter 21, you will see that at 100 years old and at 90 years old for Sarah, the Lord gave them a baby. The baby's name was Isaac, and through Isaac, that family line continued and eventually became the nation of Israel. The Lord made good on his promise, and Abraham and Sarah, they had a baby at a very old age. But receiving a baby at a very old age, not the highlight of this text. Verse 22 reads, therefore it was credited to him for righteousness. It is referring to Abraham's belief, faith, which involved hope. That was credited to him as righteousness. If you read the story of Abraham, you see that his actions and thoughts were not perfectly righteous. He committed many sins. He was deceitful and misleading towards leaders. He used his wife inappropriately. He committed sexual adultery. He did not possess a standard of righteousness that would have earned him a perfect eternal fellowship with the perfect, holy God of the universe. In himself, he did not have what it took to make himself right with God. Given the things that he had done and given the holiness of God, he had nothing in his own resources that would have made it possible for him to be right with God, which is why the sweetest news for Abraham and the sweetest thing Abraham heard was not the baby crying, though that probably was a good sound. The best news was that he was credited righteousness. I was told you shouldn't live off credit. You know what living off credit is? You don't have enough money in the bank, so you get a credit card. The banks give you a credit limit, and you can spend it up to that limit. Credit is money that you're allowed to spend even if you don't have it. Credit is money that you don't have, but that the banks do have and allow you to use. Now, while credit can be bad, the good thing about credit is that it allows you to purchase things that you can't afford. Items that would be impossible for you to obtain by your own bank account becomes possible to obtain by the bank's bank account. That's how it's supposed to be. And the greatest news in the world, and the most hopeful news in the world for Abraham, was not the sound of the baby crying, but that he could live on God's credit. He was able to live off of God's credit. God credited Abraham righteousness. Being credited righteousness is one of the most wonderful things that can happen for you, because that's how a holy God can look on a sinful person and call him friend. Being credited righteousness, or being seen as righteous by God the Father, who is holy, is a wonderful blessing, because that's how servants can be considered sons and daughters. That's how a perfect, holy God can dwell inside flawed people, because he counts them as righteous. And that's how flawed people could enter into a holy and perfect heaven, because he counts them righteous. Being credited righteous is an outstanding, wonderful, magnificent, amazing gift. And it's a gift to those who put their hope in God, who believe in God, who put their faith in God. Look at verse 23. Now it was credited to him. Now it was credited to him, was not written for Abraham alone, but also for us. It will be credited to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Verse 25, he was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Verse 23 says, it was credited to him, was not written for Abraham alone, but was written for us. Wow. The author says that what was said about Abraham in the book of Genesis about 3,000 years ago, about him being counted righteous, was written for people in our generation. It was written for the Church of Rome in that time, and it was written for the Church of La Plata on March 22nd, 2023. It was written for us. God is so thoughtful. He's so considerate of you. The creator of the world could think about so many things that's going on. He does think about everything that's going on. And he thinks about us. So much so that he had this written down for you and me. And he had it preserved for thousands of years. For you and me. So much so, this is how much he cares about you and me. That he didn't just deliver this word for us, but he delivered his son for us. Text said, verse 25, it's talking about the Son of Jesus Christ. It's talking about the Son who is Jesus Christ. It said he was delivered up for our trespasses. And raised for our justification. You are all public. You all are public servants in here. And whenever you're a public servant in any way, it takes a lot of humility because a lot of stuff that you do don't get recognized. And again, that's why I'm thankful that we're able to be here and recognize you for the good work that you all do for our communities. And I pray that you all get recognized more for the good things that you do. And you all typically have to live with knowing that you're not going to get recognized for a lot of stuff. And I praise the Lord for the humility that you all show in that. But it does sting a little bit when, for me at least, I can speak for me, when I do something good, it's okay if I don't get recognized, fine. But if somebody else gets the credit for it, I'm going to have a conversation with a couple folks. Somebody else taking the credit kind of rubs me the wrong way. Again, this is the beauty of Jesus Christ. He says, you know what? I'm going to do the work. And I'm going to give you the credit. This is how much he loves us. He does the work. And he gives us the credit. The righteousness that goes in our account is not based on nothing. You shouldn't just make money and dish it out and make it on nothing. The righteousness that in our account is not based on nothing. Someone earned that righteousness. Someone got it for us and it's based on something. And that someone is Jesus. And he's okay with that. He loves that. He likes it for it to be that way. We all, just like Abraham, have have overstepped our bounds. God has given us all laws, and we were supposed to live within his law for our own good. But like Abraham, but like children, we like to press the bounds. We like to step outside of bounds. We like to step over the law. We like to break the law. And we all have done it one too many times. And the penalty for breaking the law is death. That's what this word trespass is. Trespass is we have stepped outside of the good law that God has given us, and we have stepped into sin. We have crossed over one too many times by our actions, by our thoughts, and by our deeds. And as we heard earlier, the wages of sin is death. But this is the good thing, right? Jesus, who never sinned, was delivered up for our trespasses. The one who didn't deserve death died. Why? To take our death penalty. He was delivered over for our trespasses. And to show that his death was accepted by God, and so that his death was the ransom paid for us, he was raised again to life. And the perfect Son of God, who lived a perfect life on earth, it reigns in heaven perfectly. The Son of God, who was righteous on earth perfectly, is righteous in heaven. And now he sits in heaven as our perfect, righteous justification. It is his death and his resurrection. It's his perfect life, his perfect death and for us that allows us to stand righteous before God. He does it for us. He does the work. We get the credit. If we trust and hope and believe in him. Some religions will say that it's unfair that God would allow the work of Jesus Christ to be counted for other people. Some religions lobby against people receiving credit for the work of God the Son. Well, family, I don't see any other way for a sinful world to be counted righteous except it be given to them. And not only do I not see another way when I look at the world, I don't see another way when I look at my own heart. And the scriptures has made it so that there is no other way. The Lord planned it this way from the beginning. He planned it this way from the beginning. That's why Abraham is called the father of many nations. Abraham, his faith in God, set the paradigm for how all would be saved. No matter what nationality, no matter what class, no matter what education. He's the father of all who trust, he's the father of all because he modeled faith that we all should also show and model and put in God. And just as Abraham put his faith in God and was counted righteousness, so should we put our faith in God. And we also would be counted righteous. And faith in God means that we also must put faith in his Son, who is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's done that impossible work for you. And that's why we should put our hope in him. And so, we all need hope. And God gives us hope. But more important than you having hope is who you put your hope in. And if we put our hope in God, there's nothing that's impossible for you. Put your hope in God. There is nothing that is impossible for you to do. Because you have a God who is willing to work on your behalf and do it through you and for you. And if you put your hope in God, whether your greatest dream comes true or not, if you put your hope in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know that you will not be disappointed. So there are going to be things that happen in this life that's not going to go your way. My mother died of cancer in 2009. Another spiritual mother of mine just recently, this past year, had a battle with cancer. We prayed hard. We prayed hard. We fasted. She loved the Lord with all of her heart. She was a pillar in our church. And then she fell. And I went to the doctor for just a fall, but the cancer spread a couple weeks later. She died. But my mother and my spiritual mother both died in hope. They died with a hope in Jesus Christ, which means that that hope did not disappoint because they're now in glory. And this world is going to have a lot of suffering. And God, sorry to tell you, God rigged it that way. He rigged the world not to always go the way you want it to go, so that you could put your hope in Him. And so that we could be thoroughly, completely satisfied when our blessed hope comes in the person of Jesus Christ. Because He's coming. And He's going to satisfy all of our hopes and all of our longings. If you would just put your trust and hope in Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for that blessed hope that we have. We thank You for the people here who are those who help provide hope and who are vehicles of hope. Strengthen them, God, to do the work that that You have called them to do. Their task is a thankless task. Many people don't thank them. They don't see them. But, Father, You see them. You've placed them in their positions. Encourage them. Strengthen them when their hearts get weary, when it seems like nothing is going the way they wanted to. Give them hope to press on. Give us all hope to press on. And Father, give us all hope in Christ Jesus. We thank You for the hope that He has offered us for eternal life. We thank You that that hope does not disappoint. We ask that You would, wherever we have placed our hope in the wrong thing, forgive us for that. Wherever we have diminished, downplayed, or not rightly valued and thought about the hope of heaven, forgive us for that. And set our minds on things above as we wait for our blessed hope in our Savior Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.